Hey, this is Shane McDonald. Welcome to episode 120 of the PowerCast. This episode is Jason Kalipa. We actually went on the road for the first time ever and recorded this episode with Jason in one of his offices in Los Gatos. We got to tour all of his gyms and see his approach to corporate fitness in a couple of Western Digital locations using CrossFit methods and non-CrossFit methods to really kind of change the culture of fitness around these corporate environments. Actually, it was fascinating to me. The other fascinating thing to me is how he approaches compensating his coaches, which, you know, if you know the fitness industry at all and you know, in CrossFit, but not just CrossFit, sometimes, you know, you're trying to maybe underpay as much as you possibly can your coaches, or, you know, they're only on a part-time basis and they have to cobble things together to make a living, and you feel like ultimately they're going to, you know, leave and start their own thing somewhere, which is very, very common in the CrossFit world. But that's really not the greatest model, and I think that what Jason's come up with his business is a totally more sustainable kind of approach. So anyway, check it out. Being a guy with an MBA, it very much appealed to me in this episode. We had actually a great day with Jason. Our sponsors for this episode: HowMuchYouBench.net, ThePowerMagazine.com, CavemanCoffeeCO.com, and actually Caveman is in all of Jason's locations too. Compex USA at ShopCompex.com, Rogue Fitness at ThePowerCast.com/Rogue, and 8 Man Strong at 8manstrong.com. Enjoy this episode. This is 120.
Super Training Gym in West Sacramento, California. This is Mark Bell's PowerCast. Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McD, here's your host, Mark Bell.
So what's going on? Your phone's dying?
Yeah, so, Mr. Kalipa, you're down here in the Silicon Valley.
Yes.
You know a bunch of, like, high-end technology companies, and none of these motherfuckers can make my phone last 12 hours? I just need a 12-hour phone.
Ali, do we have a charger for, like, this thing called a Samsung Galaxy?
That's great.
Oh, he does.
You're saving my life.
Dude, it's because he's Ali.
He's got everything.
He's on it.
Ali's a media genius.
He's a tech man.
He's like whipping out all these cords for us to set up our podcast.
I know, that was awesome.
He made this podcast run.
Actually, he saved my ass.
He could be featured on the guest list.
I was short a cord.
He's got all the wires. Yeah, imagine if we tried to do it at the gym. It wouldn't work.
No.
See? We've got to come to the office, bro.
Yeah, he's got it all.
The office that you sit on the ground.
So what do you got going on here, Jason Kalipa? Like, today was actually kind of a whirlwind. You took us to a bunch of different facilities.
That's right.
You got a bunch of different gyms going on. You have your clothing brand. You got your NorCal CrossFit brand. You have just a lot of different shit going on. So what do you have going on currently? Like, where are you about to travel to? And kind of just bring us up to date on what's going on now.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple things going on.
Yeah, where do you start?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been blessed over the last 10 years or so to be able to develop a brand and a group of gyms that are focused on, you know, functional strength conditioning in a community setting. And we do a bunch of different types of things. We don't just do CrossFit. We also do, you know, CrossFit style light. We do yoga. We do several different things. And you guys had an opportunity to go to our San Jose and Santa Clara location. We also have Mountain View and Redwood City locally. And then we have two more in South San Jose that are corporate sites with Western Digital. And we got a bunch of other gyms in Asia and Mexico. So we got all those gyms going on. We also have, you know, some products, right? Some clothing, some mat type stuff. We have some virtual things. We have a couple different facets to the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. I think it was pretty impressive to see the corporate setting of those CrossFit facilities. When you were kind of mentioning it to me, you know, via like a email back and forth a little bit, I didn't know exactly what to expect. That I was kind of picturing 600 square feet that they allowed you to kind of have and have, you know, a barbell and maybe a rower and a couple. But these were like fully outfitted CrossFit gyms.
Yeah,
it's
I watched
real deal.
A video on it. I don't know who put it on, but it was on YouTube. And you ended up showing us more the commercial side of the same facility. And I think in the video, you're like having these guys do burpees and overhead lunges and stuff, running around like treadmills, and then eventually got your own space.
Yeah, so that's how we started, you know. It's just kind of like that vision. The president of Western Digital, Mike Cordano, has a very similar vision that I do. He wants to bring functional classes to the gym that are community-based to get employees to connect it. And we started off with small spaces, and we kind of proved our value and then built from there. And I'm a firm believer with whatever company we work with or whatever we do, I don't want to go in there talking money. I don't want to talk about, you know, how great we are. I want to show them. So I go in there. Like, for example, we started working with GoPro a little bit, and it wasn't money. Like, we haven't received a dime from them. We just want to go there and prove that we have a better way of looking at corporate wellness, and the way that it's currently done is just broken. Like, going into a small gym or even a big gym and putting headphones on and whatever, it's just, it doesn't cultivate a community, which is what...
No fucking headphones.
Yeah, we just instated that rule at Super Training. Like, 95% of us just go in and don't do headphones anyways, because that's why we're there. Right. But then there's a few people that always put on headphones, and we're like, no, like, not, we have no... Mark
you
hasn't
isolate
made,
yourself.
He hasn't made one rule at Super Training. He lets us go and do whatever we want. He just built this place for us. It's fucking free. We can do whatever we want. But now his first rule ever, I think,
yeah.
Or one rule is don't fucking scratch the wall. Two is no fucking right. headphones.
Yeah, man. I mean, because, dude, if you have headphones on... You know, like where you're not connecting with people. You know, it's just bizarre. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's not the way that I looked at corporate fitness. And so I recognized there was an area and a space that we can make better. And that's what we've done. We've done it with Western Digital all over the world, and it's been very fun. I mean, dude, talk about travel. I mean, it's like, you know, I was in Greece doing some stuff with them. I've been in Asia doing things with them. I leave for the Caribbean on Thursday. I was in
Sounds
Vegas,
terrible.
San Diego, and then when I get back, I go to Mexico for our grand opening. So like. You know, I travel quite a bit, especially in the off season. So, like from August through January, I'm gone probably 60% of the time at least. And then from then on, I'm gone, you know, 20% of the time or whatever.
Back to the corporate stuff. What are you noticing? Like, what's the feedback from these facilities? Has like human resources ever contacted you and said, "Hey, we noticed, you know, this is happening, that's happening"? Has someone contacted you from the facility and given you some positive feedback?
Yeah, I mean, you know. The statistics, I don't have enough data to really, you know, create like a white paper on this.
Right.
But everybody knows that those that come into CrossFit, they go back to work more productive, in a better mood. They generally have less sick days, and they're generally good performers. Like,
right.
You find it pretty hard to believe. Like, it's even in powerlifting or whatever. If people that lift or people that do CrossFit. They're probably not lazy people.
Right.
And so
oh
that
my goodness. Look
over.
At these tech guys. Oh, you just amazing. Saved my day. That's awesome. Thanks, dude.
So, you know, I think having CrossFit at a company is great because it's a good recruiting tool for people that are naturally hardworking. I mean, who's going to come in at 6 a.m., bust their ass, and then go to work and to be lazy? It just doesn't – they don't correlate.
Right. Right.
You were telling us a story about a couple of guys who had worked out in the corporate facility when it was just machines and stuff on the other side who hadn't even talked to each other until they – tried the CrossFit side.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you saw them there today, right? And
16 years or something they worked together.
Yeah, they worked together for like 16 years. They went to the same gym, saw each other every day, never said a single thing to each other because they'd both, you know, be doing their own thing. It wasn't like it was a negative thing. It just wasn't positive. It wasn't community.
Give them a little bro, like head nod, and that was that probably.
That was it. Never knew each other's name. And finally, they come into CrossFit. They have a coach to facilitate this culture, community, et cetera.
Right.
And boom, now they're good friends. And it's like, man. You know, if every company just found a way to connect their employees better, their productivity would go through the roof. You know?
Right. We were talking about the fact that, you know, in a corporate culture, it's really the relationships that get things done. And if people don't know each other, if like, you don't know anybody in a particular department, your chance of actually getting something out of the department, it's not so good.
No.
You keep using the phrase functional community, functional fitness.
Yeah, just
that's a good, it's a good phrase because that's like what we do. I mean, we deadlift in a group of 10 of us or whatever. You know, it's a good like overall theory or whatever. And people always talk about it. Popular media talks about it with kids, right? PE programs are getting cut. kids are getting fat, kids are getting worse grades, kids are getting ADD, kids are getting dumber. But people don't talk about adults. Like, adults need to move too. We're humans. Like, we're made to hunt down tigers or whatever the fuck we're made to do, and we're not doing it anymore. We're sitting at a desk, so of course we get dumber and fatter, like the movie Wall-E. Wall-E's our future. Have you seen Wall-E? You have kids.
I have not seen Wall-E.
Wall-E!
Well, I mean, it's like,
Wall-E, you know, will fuck you up, man. It'll change your perspective on everything.
When we were looking for schools for my daughter, you know, the school we ended up choosing for her was they had these like stools that wobble, and I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And
as core training.
Yeah, and at some of their classes, they had stand-up desks. And, I mean, she's in, you know, kindergarten, so she's very young. But what I was trying to think about myself is, like, that's at least progressive thinking. It's not, because, you know, people used to say, my teacher used to tell me I have ADD, ADHD, whatever. No, I'm just a boy. I don't want to sit at a chair for 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get up and move. And, I mean, even now I can't sit for 30 minutes straight. Right. You know, making it through this podcast, I'm going to have to run around a little bit. And, yeah, man, I just think it's all about just getting people up, getting them moving, and, you know, a lot of good stuff comes from that. I mean, you just feel good, you know? It's like these people who just sit, they wake up, they sit in their car, they go to work.
Yeah.
They get up, they walk to their desk, they sit at their desk for hours. They get up, maybe go to the bathroom or something.
Grab a donut.
That's it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And obviously nutrition plays a big role, but it's like, dude, if we could just get people moving a little bit and give them less excuses, you know, when you have it at the office.
It's just right there, yeah.
It's like, dude,
yeah.
I mean, because if we have it 5 minutes away, it's an easy excuse. Oh, I don't have time. I can't.
Oh, what about the guy in the cubicle across from you or the room across from you saying, hey, dude, you going to the workout at 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't going to it, but now you are, because it's like that guy just put your ass on the line, right?
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, you know. It's like we talk about CrossFit, and CrossFit's excellent, but ultimately what CrossFit has done is it's just really put – you know, functional movements at the forefront, intensity, which is, you know, you got to work hard, you know, which is really the factor. But also there's just that community side, right? And at NorCal CrossFit, what we're really focused on in NC Fitness is just quality coaching and community. And with the community, it keeps you there. You know, it keeps you excited. Like, we just had our NorCal Formal, which is a formal event where people wear, you know, suits and the women dress up. And
that's awesome.
We have it at a hotel called the Valencia, which is, you know, it's a pretty fancy place. We had 300 people come. That's the maximum occupancy. And we have it sold out every year. And it's just a great opportunity for these people to come out and be with their peers in a more formal setting where they're dressed up, they feel sexy. And, you know, CrossFitters, they're down to party. It was great.
You were telling us that you make a pretty significant investment in trainer education and like ongoing trainer education, and you have very high standards, quality standards for coaching.
Yeah, I mean the way we differentiate ourselves from 24 Hour Fitness and LA Fitness or whatever is the coaching. Ultimately, facilities, sure, great, okay. I mean, all facilities of ours have showers and we have towel service, and we don't have saunas or any of that kind of stuff.
Free pizza on Friday?
No free pizza on Friday. We need it though.
We got to go to his house for the
pizza. Yeah, free pizza.
Brick oven.
Brick oven at my house. But ultimately, what makes us special and what's going to keep us relevant for the next 10, 20, 30 years to come is coaches that create a sense of community where people feel invested in that coach, and the coach feels invested in the people, and that they're offering good quality service where they're not just like, you know, it's not just the person who's a newbie. It's the person who's been there a year, 2 years, 3 years. Are you still adding value for that person?
Right.
Every day, you know, JP from Brick says this, and I think it's brilliant. Every day we need to renew our members, every single day. It's not guaranteed that person comes back tomorrow. It's not. So when they're in there today, I need to do the best possible quality service I can from the moment they walk in the door to the moment they leave.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I've heard Tom Brady before say, like, they're like, why do you practice so hard? Why are you, you know, going at it so hard all the time? And he said, I don't want to lose my job.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. You know, the guy's on top. The guy's already in a great position. You're already in a great position, but you're thinking, I need these people to come back. You know, that's the way it has to be.
Yeah. And you know, because we don't have contracts, because I don't want to require someone to be at our gym. If they don't want to be at our gym, just let me know. Explain why. And you're more than welcome to leave. And if we haven't done a quality job, right, we'll refund whatever we need to. Because that we're not going to be the people where you're sitting here and be like, oh, hey, you got a Samsung Galaxy? Why? Because you're like with, you know, Verizon, and you're like, yeah, I'm on a 3-year contract. I'm pissed.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck. You know, for me.
So stressful.
Right. For me, I want people to want to come to our gym. I don't want them to have to come to our gym because they're on some type of contract. And so it's really important that every day we renew them, and they should be excited. And my goal when we opened the gym was that if I walk up to a member, I'm like, hey, John, how you doing? You know, he'd be like, I'm having the time of my life, and I'm so fortunate to be paying you for this service. Thank you, right? They should never be like, oh, you know, I'm okay. You know,
right.
Like the service is okay. Like,
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? People should be – like, imagine when you go to a restaurant and you have freaking great dinner, great service, like the time of your life, right? The bill comes out $200, $300, $500, whatever, dollars, right? You look at it and, you know, you're going to be like, you know what? That was totally worth it because I had a great time. The service was excellent, right. Fully worth it. Then you have situations where you go and the dinner's $100, whatever. It depends where you're going. And the service was mediocre at best. The food was mediocre. And you're sitting there and you just feel like you kind of got taken advantage of. And I never want to be that company where people have to pay and they're kind of like feeling obligated to. They should want to because you're so damn good at what you do.
Right.
That sounds like a very deep-rooted value. Like, where did that come from in your life? Where, at what point in your life did you think that is how I should conduct business whenever it is that I am in that position?
I mean, I think – so when I was in high school, I started working at a conventional gym at the front desk. And that was a really cool –
You're the towel boy?
I was a towel boy. I was slinging those protein drinks, you know. I was, you know, selling that Gatorade all day. And, you know, that was a good opportunity for me to get to know people. It was a good opportunity for me to, you know, learn how to interact, especially at a young age. And I'd worked on the weekends when I wasn't playing, you know, sports, et cetera. And so I started seeing these salesmen making good money. And I was like, damn, dude, I kind of want to do that. You know, these guys are kind of balling. And I'm like, so I graduated from high school, went to college. So I started working full time at the gym doing sales. And, you know, this gym really took me under their wing, taught me how to sell, and I started crushing it. I mean, I was, I think, you know, however old you were, 18 years old, making thousands of dollars a month selling gym memberships. I mean, I was crushing it in life, right? I was feeling great. And so, you know, a couple years go by, 3 years go by, and I'm still in college making good money for being in college. And I'm like, you know what, man, something just doesn't feel right, you know, because you're sitting here, you're selling them the dream. Hey, you want to lose 10 pounds? You know, come on into the gym for $9.99 a month and, you know, 2 year contract. Ah, you know what? Today's a good day. 1 year contract and you get a free water bottle. And you're sitting there trying to sell them the dream, right? And the reality is, you know, in the bottom of your soul, in your heart, you know, those people are not going to last more than a month or two. And so even though I was making good money, left me feeling unethical, left me feeling empty, you know?
Yeah.
And my dad was all about, you know, it's like, hey, everybody's got to work for a living, but you got to do something ethical. You got to do something where you're truly helping people for the right reasons. You're not just doing it because eventually it's just going to go away, right? And so that was really where the side of me of, you know, doing things better really came in. And then I found CrossFit, and that was where I knew people would get results if they signed up.
Mm. The internet was a little less popular back then in terms of like YouTube or no Instagram and stuff. How'd you even find CrossFit or deadlifts and cleans and stuff?
Well, yeah. So in 2006-07, I was introduced to CrossFit from Austin McGeeming. He was a friend of mine, and, you know, just the internet was available, right? So it was just CrossFit.com. And it took me a couple months to kind of get used to it. You know, I tried my first workout. You know, I wasn't really sold. Tried two, tried three. Wasn't quite sold. I was a really, you know, big like bodybuilder, globo gymmer, right? All about it. And I still like that stuff, by the way. But it's like I would go down there.
Just like bench pressing and stuff like that, yeah?
So like what we used to do, man, I used to be a champ at this, was 100 reps at 135 for time. Just bah, 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 bah.
What did C.T. Fletcher just do?
Oh, yeah, he did like, I don't even know.
It's like 10 sets of 50 at 135.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, let's just say it was 100 reps at 135, and I think I got it down finally to like 2 minutes or something, whatever, right? But like me and the dudes, you know, we'd be working on the weekends. We'd get kind of bored because we're sitting there, you know, working. Be like, hey, man, like, let's go battle it down. And I swear, I probably did that like 3-4 days a week for like a while.
That's awesome.
So I got pretty damn good at it. But that's where I started to realize the intensity concept, right? Where I was like, wow. So, okay, now I'm kind of going with the intensity side instead of just kind of doing a set and like sitting there. I started think like kind of building in intervals where I'd be like, you know, doing some bench. Then all of a sudden I'd find myself doing some sit-ups. Then I would do some bench, do some sit-ups. And I found that I really liked the idea of kind of like this constant movement. And then I really educated myself on CrossFit, and that's where I really started to enjoy it.
You mentioned as a kid, you know, just having a hard time sitting still and stuff. What do you think some of this can do for a kid? Because you know, you're talking about how it applies to the corporate world and how it can help employees a ton. How do you think it can help children, CrossFit in general?
I mean, CrossFit, I think, in general, for children is a blessing, but can also be seen as somewhat of a something to be careful about.
Right.
So I'm not talking about lifting weights. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. That needs to be done under supervision and proper, you know, it needs to be done with common sense, right? You shouldn't have a 5-year-old or 10-year-old lifting far above a certain much of their means, right?
Right.
I mean, let's just, you know, keep it at that. But what I think we need to be careful of is as these kids are becoming teenagers and whatnot, CrossFit is such a blessing. Like, for example, I have a gentleman who goes to our gym. We have a teens program. He's 16, 17 years old. Right now, instead of being out partying, drinking, you know, eating like crap, he's more educated on his food. He's diligent. He's working hard. It's so inspirational. I love it. That's awesome. But on the flip side of that, he's so gung-ho about it. He's training 3 hours a day because he wants to go to CrossFit Games. He's getting burnt out. He's getting – or he's not yet, but maybe he will. And so what I told him was, dude, come in, enjoy the experience, enjoy training, love training, and you're going to do great things. But if you're training to train, if you're training to go to the games or to be famous on Instagram or something, you're training for the wrong reasons. You want to train because your heart and your soul tells you you love it. Yeah. Like, I don't wake up every morning and go into my garage and train because I'm trying to become famous or, you know, win the CrossFit Games. Like, I've already been doing that. I wake up in the morning motivated because I'm just driven to push myself and to stay physically fit. And I think if these kids realize that, you know, back to the positives of CrossFit, there's so many football, basketball, baseball, whatever players who have this God-given talent that are just so great. But if they just had a little bit of additional work ethic and a little bit of additional strength conditioning, they'd be top of their sport. Yeah. And I think CrossFit coming in there and helping them with that is so awesome. But then, again, to combat that, kids need to be careful of how much CrossFit they're doing and getting away from team sports.
You'd like to see these kids be a little bit more well-rounded. Maybe they play football in the off-season. They do some CrossFit. And if they're good enough to make regionals or the games, then so be it. But not, like, have that be the end-all, be-all for them.
Yeah, kind of I like to call it the AMRAP mentality. So basically what it is when you're in the middle of an AMRAP, you're doing it, and then you move on to something else. And it's all about balance in life. So if you're a high school student, you need to have balance. You need to have your school is number one. You got to make sure you get good grades, right? If you don't graduate, you're a schmuck. You got to graduate. You got to finish that high school at least, right? Then you have your sports, whatever that may be, football, CrossFit in there. And then you have your family. You got to keep that tight. And there needs to be the distinction where, you know, you're AMRAPing it. When you're with your family, you're with your family. You're being a good kid, you know, you're being a good husband, father, whatever it is. When you're working on your sport, you're working on that, you're focused. And then when you're at school, or for us, we're at work, we're focused on that. And I think nowadays, because of media, because of content, people can become so distracted. And so here's a theory I have, and not to babble on this, but here's a concept. I think that, you know, the addition of the telephone, for example, like the cell phone, is badass. I could be at work right now, and I could be multitasking. I could be talking to Mark while I'm talking to three other people. I could be doing all these different things. It's great. I could be at home, and I could be doing a bunch of work, right? It's great for all that kind of stuff. You're always mobile. Connected. You're mobile. You're always connected, right? However, it's also a negative, because unless we AMRAP it, unless we're always you know, doing as many rounds or reps as possible, unless we're really focused, you're distracted so easily. So take, for example, us. We're at work. 30 years ago, when you're at work, you're at work. Like, you have an old school telephone. You're just grinding, right?
You got to write a letter.
There's really
can't even type a letter.
Right.
Yeah, there's not really a distraction. Not a lot of distractions anyway.
There's no distraction, right? You're in there, and you're not going to be bothered. Now, same thing applies when you go home. When you're at the office 30 years ago, when you go home, you're at home. There was no cell phone. There was no, like, you might get a call on your home phone, but very rarely, right? So when you're at home, you're at home. You're doing your thing. But nowadays, right, look at it a little bit differently. When you're at work, think about how easy you could be distracted. You could be on Facebook for a straight hour, right? So you're working.
You can totally lose time there.
All of a sudden, you find yourself on Instagram for 30 minutes. You're like, damn, what happened, right?
And now looking at girls' butts.
Yes, all those bikini pictures.
All those bikini pictures.
They'll get you.
Get you every time.
And now that focus and that what you had for the work has not been distracted.
Right.
And your quality is not quite there. So now what do you end up doing? You end up working longer because you're not focused on what you're actually doing, which is taking away from the other things you need to AMRAP in your life. So now you go home, right? Life is good. You see your kids. All of a sudden, you're fully connected. And so now you're doing work while you're trying to spend time with your family, and now you're half-assing that. So what you end up doing is, this whole concept of technology is, you're just half-assing everything.
Yeah.
Because whenever you're doing something, you're actually doing something else. And so
you really can't multitask anything. There's basically no such thing.
What if you're a professional Instagrammer? I think that's the only
I mean, that's the way.
That's the only way, right? Because then I'm working, I'm wasting time, I'm with my family, I'm taking selfies with my family, and then you do it all in one.
Yeah, that's easy. That's the best way to make it. Okay. Just focus on that.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, right, it's like what I think people need to realize, and this goes for, you know, you talk about teens getting into CrossFit or whatever, is that just to have a good balance in their life, but to learn how to be focused. And I think one of the ways that I've been able to compete in CrossFit professionally, you know, grow this business and also have a family is just when you're doing something, you're doing something. When you're doing something else, you're doing something else. But don't intertwine them so much. And it was something that's still been hard for me. I'm not saying I'm an expert at it, but it's something I'm aware of at least. You know, I'm aware of it because I don't want to get distracted when I'm in the middle of something. I think a lot of people can learn from this that I'm constantly asking myself, like, what am I doing right now? I'm working. I need to work. I don't need to be distracted because that's just taking me away and having me work longer.
Is there anything going on social media that's all that important?
No. I mean,
right, yeah, right.
That's right.
Right. You got your kids. You got your wife. You have your gyms. And all those people can contact you in multiple ways if they really need to.
Yeah. And I think there's a place for social media, of course. I mean, yeah. I like it. I mean, yeah. I think it's fun. I think it's cool to find out what your friends and family are doing. I think it's a great way to get your message out about what you're doing. Yeah. But there's a time and a place for it, right? So you're not in the middle of a meeting being focused on the direction of your company, and all of a sudden you're on Instagram for 30 minutes and not paying attention to them. Now, you might want to go on there and look at, you know, something related to your brand. That's a different discussion, right? But what I'm trying to say is that, and especially for younger kids, it's like, just be focused on whatever you're doing.
Yeah, be present.
Be present.
Yeah.
That's as simple as it is. You know, it's like, it's so easy to get distracted. But in CrossFit, we learn to be present. And that's why I love using that as an analogy. When you're in the middle of a workout, that's it. You know, you're just AMRAPing that damn thing.
Right.
If you're doing thrusters and burpees, oh shit, you're not going to answer your phone, right? You're grinding.
Right.
That's the same thing needs to happen.
Well, you know, I don't think we even have talked about the real scope of business that you have going on. And like from the corporate world, I've known people who had, you know, half that much stuff going on who swore that they didn't have time to do anything, including working out, because it was so time consuming for them when they were putting 80 hours a week into it and blah, 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 blah. It, I mean, what it sounds like you're concentrating on one thing at a time and you're managing to do it all.
Yeah. I mean, take, for example, today, right? I get up early. I'm with my son for, you know, my son, daughter for about 45 minutes. Then I go in the garage, I go do intervals, right? I don't talk to anybody. I'm not on the phone. I go do intervals. I come back. I have to watch my son for about an hour, right? Just hang with him. Then I go back in the garage and I work out. That was right before you guys got there, right? So now it's train, you know, we're spending time.
Probably about 11 o'clock.
Right. Then you guys get there and we've been touring ever since, right?
Right.
And you guys are all in focus on, like, dude, you guys don't see me, like, I'm just with you guys, showing you guys around, and this is what I'm doing. And then after I'm done doing this, I might go back in the garage for another half an hour, do a little something, and then I'm with family from dinner on, and that's it. And it's like, could I get better at what I'm doing? Of course. Like, there's still times where I get distracted. I'm not saying I don't, but I'm actively asking myself every minute of the day, am I putting myself in the best position right now to get the task that I'm trying to get done, you know?
Right.
And if I'm dicking around on my, you know, whatever, then I'm not going towards those goals. And so you talk about people who are busy working, this and that. You know, people love to use the excuse, like, I'm busy. It's like, really, dude? Are you, like, do you really not have 45 minutes a day to, you know, it's just task priority. It's just prioritizing what's important to you at that time. You know, like, the president of Western Digital, for example, he's arguably, he has 80,000 people working for him, right?
Yeah.
The guy's in charge of a multi, you know, $100 billion company, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And he still has time 4 or 5 days a week to get in his workout at his most busiest time because he prioritizes it and he knows that working out puts him in a better mood. It releases his stress. It
gives him some longevity.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's other people at HGST Western Digital that are like this. It's not just Mike. I mean, it's all the executives and a lot of the coworkers or a lot of the, you know, staff understands the value. And so when people say they're busy, that's just an excuse. You know, there's always time of the day if you find it as a priority for your life.
Has that helped you and motivated you to be around people that are like the guy that runs that company?
Yeah. I mean, being around those guys, you start recognizing, you start getting inspired. You know, it's not just Western Digital, HGST. It's also, you know.
Yeah, you work with Twitter and a bunch of other big companies and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But also even like the, you know, founders of, you know, Progenics and different types of companies. You find these people who are working a lot, right?
Yeah.
And you get inspired by the fact that they're running a good company. They also have a family. And yet they could still maintain their fitness. You start asking yourself, man, how do they do that? And then you start asking myself that, right? Like, we have a decent sized company. I want to compete at the highest level and I want to be the best father. How am I going to do that? I need to be present. I need to be focused. I need to identify what I actually want to work on.
It makes sense. but it's not easy to do, right?
It makes
too much sense. But was there a point like, at what point did you decide what you wanted to do with your life? Because you're heavy into things that people would see as goals, but you're doing more than one of them at a time. Like, which thing, as when you were a kid, did you want to be? Did you want to travel down an athletic path, or did you want to be, you know, have a business?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, the athletic path really just happened on its own, right? Like, I was in college, I was, you know, like I said, making good money, and I wanted to know what I wanted to do for a living. I tried getting a regular job, and it just wasn't for me. So I wanted to follow my passion. I wanted to do what I love for a living, and I wanted to, you know, offer that opportunity to as many people as we could. You know, like mm-hmm. I showed you guys earlier.
Right.
And that was what my goal was. My goal was to become successful. And successful for me was the ability to have, you know, balance in my life a little bit, but to also make enough money that I can go and do whatever I wanted. I wanted to be able to go travel whenever I wanted. I wanted to be able to send my children to the best schools. I wanted to be able to not worry that if my parents got sick and they couldn't work, I could take care of them. That was important for me. Mm-hmm. Still is till this day, right? And that was what successful was. So I was very, for lack of a better term, earlier on, I was very money motivated. I wanted to grow our business. I wanted to become successful. And that was what inspired me at the time. Then I started doing CrossFit workouts, and I found myself to be pretty good at them. I competed in the CrossFit games and I won, but I didn't compete. I didn't do CrossFit to go and compete. You know, I did CrossFit because I loved pushing myself. I loved the grind. I loved battling, you know, and the competitions are just an expression of that. And as long as you keep that in your head, you're always going to be successful because you're not doing it for the competition. You're doing it for yourself.
The CrossFit games that you won, was that the first CrossFit games ever?
Second
one?
Yeah. So that was 08.
Was that, like, CrossFit was still fairly new at that point. Was that, like, a huge thing for you when you won it? Or did you not really understand? Like, because CrossFit's crazy now.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it was like back then because I didn't really know much about it at
that
point.
Yeah, it wasn't as big back then. You know, I won $1,200. You know, I won, went to In-N-Out Burger after, kind of just like, well, that was pretty cool.
Like, winning a local powerlifting.
Was the female that won that year, was that Katie Henninger? Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, one of the owners of Rogue Fitness. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
That is cool.
So she won as well with me, and all was well, and you know, and then it kind of grew. You know, 2009 was much bigger.
Was that when they moved into whatever Home Depot?
No, 2010 they moved into Home Depot Center. So, you know, I won in 08, 2009. I took fifth, won the Spirit of the Games Award, which is a pretty cool award. I ended up going from 72nd when I started to fifth, which was good. Yeah. So I passed out on this run. It was a long story. But
is there a video of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen the video of that, right?
Yeah,
isn't
good.
That like when you first kind of realized how challenging some of it was, right?
The mental side and just understanding all the stress that I had. I got married the week after. You know, I passed out on this run, got married the week after. It's a long story. 2010, we moved to the Home Depot Center. It grew there. And then ever since, just been growing.
Have you made the games every single year since 08?
Yeah.
What's it like competing in that arena? It seems pretty damn wild. It seems pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. I mean, you know, like the first time I competed in there was 2010. And you got the jets flying over and, you know, just like, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, because inside that tennis stadium is just so wild. 2014, I think, was the most, you know, this last year, 2015 was cool. You know, I was doing the team events. I felt like the crowd was big, but 14, I felt like the crowd was even bigger. And I mean, it was just so loud. I couldn't even hear my judge. You know, just
wow.
So loud.
How does it feel to evolve with a sport like that? Like, there's people walking around the games, and I'm sure boxes every day with your name on their back. Like, you're a freaking Tom Brady. You know? Like, really, though. Like, they sell your shirts, and you're wearing them. Like, that's got to be crazy, especially considering you said you were more business motivated than being like, I want to be Michael Jordan. Well, you ended up like Michael Jordan of freaking CrossFit. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, it feels good. I mean, it just feels like I'm just a dude who started off when the sport was smaller and just kind of just tried. I've always tried to be a good ambassador for the sport. I've always tried to be a good ambassador for what I believe is important, which is the sport is great, but the sport is not CrossFit. CrossFit is the everyday person in the best shape of life and the affiliates that help those people. And I just always want to be an ambassador of that. Like, CrossFit Games is just one expression, and it's great, but the everyday person, my mom who lost 50 pounds, who's crushing it now.
She does CrossFit?
Oh, absolutely.
That's awesome.
I mean, she's the people that motivate me because that's what it's all about, you know?
Mike and I have to discuss this a little bit before where, you know, CrossFit polices CrossFit, which is different than nearly every other professional sport that there
basketball
is.
Basketball doesn't run basketball.
Yeah, the NBA NFL, runs basketball. They have, like, Players Association, and they got a lot of different other things they need to go through. How do you feel about that in terms of, like, you know, you got like drug testing and some other things that are starting to be more implemented? And
a lot of money's on the line.
Yeah, there's a lot of money on the line. I mean, CrossFit being run by CrossFit probably isn't the healthiest thing for that organization.
No, I don't think it is either. I mean, I think from a drug testing perspective, that stuff's outsourced, right?
So right, of course. Yeah.
I've been on the drug testing list.
Yeah, but it's still a little different than UFC, where they're going to test you, you know, maybe in the contract because there's a player union. They're going to test you three times a year because you're under contract. You're not under contract.
That's
You can just sign up. I could go win the games next year. Sign up out of nowhere.
So what they do is they pick some athletes throughout the year, right? Random. Or I don't know. It's not random, but they pick athletes that are on like a drug test list. Mm-hmm. And you have to tell them where you're going and when you're going places, and you're on this list. And they can randomly call you at any time to come to your house and do it. Right. So I've had that done to me three times. And then every time you qualify for the games at regionals, you get tested.
Everybody?
The people who qualify. So the top five now. Huh. It used to be the top three. Now it's top five because of the super regions. And then at the games, they randomly select people based on, like, so before the event, let's just say they'll say, okay, whoever takes 20th and 5th in this event will get tested. So they don't know who's going to get 20th and 5th.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's pretty random.
So you may get someone actually who gets tested five times at the games. Right, because hypothetically, if they got the 20th and the, you know, but if you podium, you always get tested at the games. So I've been tested at the games, probably. I mean, I've been drug tested probably 15 times. You know,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, my point, blood and urine.
Yeah, my only point is just like right now, I've never competed in CrossFit, but say I'm the fucking best, and then I sign up all of a sudden, you know, I'll only get tested during that week.
You'll only get tested hypothetically.
Yeah, yeah.
During regionals, and then
I guess
hypothetically
a couple months
at the games. Yeah, that's right.
That's just where it differs from other sports. Possibly,
the good news is that they're at least testing.
Yeah, they're trying.
They're trying, and I don't know. You know, the whole thing about drugs and sports, and it's interesting. Like, I could sit here with a straight face. I've been doing this since 2008. There was no money when I got into it. I won $1,200. You think I was taking steroids in 2008 to try and win $1,200? Hell no, right? And since then, I've been at the top of the sport, you know, up until last year. I went team. You know, I've finished in the top five every year, and I've never done any drug of any type. So, you know, it's interesting because do I think steroids would help? Of course, probably for recovery and things of that nature. But our sport is very different from other sports where – it really comes down to hard work and the mental capacity to push through that pain, right? And so I don't know if just because you do performance-enhancing drugs is really going to put you at the top, you know? But that goes for any sport, really. Right. I mean, that's why I don't like when people hate on, like, Barry Bonds or something like that. It's like, dude, you're telling me that you would have hit that many home runs if you were taking all the steroids in the world? Hell no. Like, you know what I mean? So
Tom Brady's still Tom Brady. Maybe he's on stuff. And if he's not on anything, if he took stuff, he'd probably only get better.
Right,
you get healthier, you stay healthy longer, whatever.
Or maybe not. Maybe he's more prone to injury or maybe. Who knows? I mean,
right.
Yeah, stuff's not tested enough.
It's just sad when they take away someone's credibility just because, I mean, I get both sides of the story. You know, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying that I think in CrossFit, especially for those who have been around for a while, I don't think it's an issue. Moving forward, I think it could be an issue because there's a lot of money online. Right. And when there's money comes people trying to find ways to take advantage.
Yeah, to cheat the system in some way, yeah.
Yeah, but I think a players' union could be a good idea. I think eventually what's going to need to happen is there's going to need to be some kind of yin and yang, right? What's happening right now is you got one side, right? But the players don't have any side.
Representation.
Yeah, they don't have a voice.
They don't have any representation. They don't have any voice. And so in the future, I think something like that will happen. I mean, when? I don't know. And I don't know. I would like to see it happen because I think that they deserve – just like every other sport, some type of group collection to help them. And also when it comes to like agents and things of that nature, I think the athletes in CrossFit do need some support in that matter.
Yeah.
Because
there's a lot of money running through the sport and the sponsors and
need
companies.
Representation of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some of these guys don't do anything for you and they take a large cut and it's not fair. Some of these guys do a lot for you and they take.
Do you have an agent?
No. I don't have an agent because I've created relationships with these people long before anybody ever thought about agents, right?
Yeah.
My first deal with Rogue was like $500, you know?
Right.
It's like, but I'm also, I find myself a little bit more business-minded than some of the athletes. And so I'll, you know, come up with a concept that I believe is fair, And if a sponsor wants to do it, great. If not,
you mentioned something that I thought was really important. You mentioned, you know, how you can help the company, like when a company sponsors you. And I thought that was really interesting. You don't really hear a lot of athletes thinking from that perspective. They just kind of have their hand out and they want like $250 or, like you said, you know, $500. It's just, you know, that money is going to disappear at some point. That's not a really long, there's no longevity to that plan.
Yeah, there's no tail, right? So I think if any athlete is watching this, you know, I would really have you think about it differently, right? So there's one way to think about it is, you know, hey, I'm a, you know, top five regional athlete. I deserve, you know, $5,000 a month, whatever, right? That's what they're thinking, because right. They think that because they have 10,000 followers on Instagram, they deserve that amount of money. That's one way that they could think about it. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. The other way to look at it is, forget my social reach. Forget any of that stuff. Think about it in terms of, what ROI, what return do I give for this company? Establish that in your head of what you do. Like, that's tangible ROI, not just like I'll wear your shirt at an event. It's like, okay, that's cool. Maybe that's worth something, but I'm talking more like, hey, I have a gym that has 1,000 members. I'll put up your logos and offer all of our gym members your products in my store, and I know we're going to sell X, Y, and Z. Now you make yourself much more marketable and you give an ROI that's directly correlated to your abilities, and they can't say no, because you're stating facts instead of just being like, hey, you know, I think you guys should pay me this and I'll, you know, eat your bar or something like that.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like,
yeah. And I think it's good thinking on both sides, from the business man's perspective as well, whatever business, whatever company it is, for them to make sure, like you said, you're with Rogue and with Reebok. It's important that Rogue and Reebok make it known that they're with you and that you do the same. You know, it's important from both sides. And we see that all the time. Somebody might have a sponsorship with somebody and like, I had no idea they were even with them. Like, yeah. what's the point in them? And sometimes it's like a professional athlete or something. You're like, what's the point of that relationship? They're not really, nobody's gaining really much of anything.
Yeah, it should always be mutually beneficial. And I think as an athlete gets better in their sport, they need to always think about, what can I do better for, like, honestly, I send emails out to, like, I mean, you'd actually ask Katie from Rogue. Like, I called them the other day and I talked to Progenics and Reebok. I constantly talk to these people and say, what can I do better for you guys, right? What can I do better? Would you like to get involved in this? Because the more that I share with them, hey, what can I do better for you guys, the more in the future that they'll could potentially do for me, right? Because right. It always has to be symbiotic. It always has to be a good relationship. It can't just be one-sided, you know? And I really feel like if you overachieve past your agreement,
yeah.
Right? Your scope of work has been determined, right? You have to do X, Y, and Z. But if you overachieve that, it's always going to do better for everybody involved.
I would agree. You know, in the powerlifting world, in terms of sponsorships, you know, there haven't really been that many. And in the past, they were kind of based on performance, like what people could, you know,
yeah,
total or
lift. Yeah.
Right, right. And somewhere along the line, social media became a big part of the equation, except that, you know, a lot of the prior generation of powerlifters don't have any social media presence. And even though they have, you know, maybe great numbers, they don't have that much to offer a sponsor.
Yeah, like you said, just think about, yeah, what are you doing for the company?
It's
if
a total,
you think about that the whole time, you'll probably end up better off.
It's got to be a total package kind of arrangement.
Yeah, and I would even say about social media, you know, I mean, I would also say that, you know, just because you have a lot of following on social media doesn't necessarily mean you're a good asset to the company.
Right.
Because what do you represent on your social media that you have that type of following? If you're out there, you know, showing your butt all the time or whatever, is that in
Why
line?
Is he calling me out this whole podcast?
Is that in line with the vision of those sponsors?
Yeah.
And so it's fine if it is, right? If you want to become, if your goal is to become a bikini model, then you should put up a bunch of pictures of you in a bikini. If you look good and you grow your following, then maybe you'll sell someone's bikini line. That's more power to you.
Yeah.
And if you're a power lifter and you really are motivated to whatever, you want to be like kind of the aggressive jerk in the gym, and that's what you want to be, that's fine.
Now he's talking to you.
But generally speaking, you know, people don't really realize the message they put out on social media, that what you see can always be kind of portrayed in a different way than maybe what you're actually showing, right?
Especially Instagram and Twitter, where it's 140 words or one picture.
Yeah. Like, you could be a great person, but sometimes the way you come off might not be representative of that. And the problem with that is you talk about sponsors. Well, then the question becomes like, okay, you put up a post every week or something, but it's like, what does that really move the needle for the sponsor? Does it really move the needle?
They need traction.
Yeah, yeah. And I think where you really see value is if you're an athlete. Like, I'll tell you someone who's done a pretty good job of this. Andrea Agar, she's actually done a pretty good job of this.
Yeah.
I will give her this. She's a beautiful woman. She's done a good job of using her social media to then create seminars where mm-hmm. she generates revenue for herself to teach these seminars.
And that's great. Yeah.
What makes her credible is the fact that people are signing up for them. And so she's using her social media platforms to create a revenue stream for herself where people see value in. And that's a cool concept. You know, that's off the topic of sponsorship,
right.
But.
Well, that makes sense, and it makes sense why you view the sponsorship the way that you do is because you're confident in your own ability to make your own money your own way, and so is she. You know, she's able to have those seminars and do those kinds of things, and I think that's important for somebody to also understand. Like, there's probably not going to be a company that comes along and says, you know what, Jason, you're doing a great job. We're going to give you $2.5 million. You don't have to work, and you don't have to worry about anything.
right.
No one's gonna out of the blue do that for you. You know, and I think people need to understand that.
Yeah.
A lot of internet, YouTube, Instagram, there's a lot of hate on CrossFit, but and Mark and I and Jim have dealt with a lot of different CrossFitters, high-level athletes, regionals, games. But the coolest thing about you is how you told me and Mark how you train. I thought that was really interesting. Last time, I think we hung out, I don't know, maybe a year ago or something. Basically, you just told us you split up your days in kind of conditioning, some type of Metcon CrossFit, and then some kind of strength, yeah? You want to go into maybe a little more detail on something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what I'm doing, where my travel schedule's at, what's going on. But I just like to move, man. You know, I like to throw down. Like yesterday, I did like a total powerlifter bodybuilding type workout, and I was down with it. I'll do CrossFit where, you know, it's a blend of strength and conditioning, you know, some good Metcons, and I'll just do cardio. And I'm not afraid to say, like, every now and then I like to get a little shoulder pump, do some lat raises and, you know, some front raises. And it's like, it's all good, you know. And I think developing those smaller muscle groups, developing them in isolation is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
And then also combining that with high intensity functional movements through CrossFit is a great way to incorporate both. And that's really the way my training works is I don't take it too seriously. I just do it because I love it. You know, like I went in my garage today and I did 30 clean jerks at 225 because I felt like it. Like that was it. Like I was just like, all right, I'm down with this.
Yeah.
Before I did some intervals and some other stuff. And
it's just fun for you. So you just do it. You just get it done.
That's right. As soon as it becomes a job, man, it's not worth doing. You know, why are you going to do it if it's a job?
Right.
And people could pick up on that. They could pick up on your vibe when you're not positive, when you're going to the gym because you have to go to the gym, not because you want to go to the gym.
Right.
You know, you should always want to train.
Yeah, everybody doesn't, you know, want to go to the gym every single day. But for us, it's just like part of your life. So
you'll have
good days, you'll have bad days, but it's just what we do.
Yeah, that's right. And and you have more good days than bad days. Right. I'm not saying every day I'm the positivest guy.
Yeah, of course, but you get it done.
Right. And you're not dreading every day going to the gym. You know, it's not cool.
Right.
It's not the way you want to be.
I think that's the best thing about, you know, deadlifting, clean and jerk, squatting, whatever, is more people will tend to like that kind of working out. They'll like to see PRs. They'll like to see progression. They don't rely on the scale. And that's something CrossFit's done well. They focus on performance, right?
Yeah.
So for the everyday, I mean, it's empowering for people. You're a top level athlete. We compete in powerlifting. You know, we're more a little bit different than the norm. But normal people look at the scale every single day, don't see progress, stop going to the gym. You go join CrossFit, you join powerlifting, you join weightlifting, you start to see PRs, you start to see times go down, strength go up. Then the real progress in both mental and physical come.
Yeah, and it's inspiring for them. I mean, that's why CrossFit's really caught on. You know, we were talking about this earlier, is that, you know, at NorCal, we're all about community-based, you know, functional movements, and people busting their butt. You know, ultimately what was flawed in the conventional gym is there's no community setting, so no one ever feels kind of like a connection, right? Number one.
Right.
And number two is they're kind of okay with mediocrity in the sense like they're okay with being on elliptical watching TV. And unfortunately, going back to focus and going back to purpose is like you need to identify like if you're going to be on an elliptical for an hour, there's a better way to spend your hour.
Yeah.
And that's through high intensity work,
well,
and you're going to get much better results.
Commercial gym is almost like I'm going to prove like what I'm doing is right. I'm going to be over here deadlifting, and somebody else is on an elliptical. Somebody else is doing curls. It's almost like everyone's in there to prove each other wrong, rather than being on the same page and moving forward.
Or they have no idea.
All progressively,
right.
Yeah, right.
They have
right.
no plan at all, and they just go in to do something. You're putting in time, you know.
Yeah.
This is my way to lose weight. This is my way to get jacked. This
and
is my
it,
way.
You know? And actually, on that same note, I should say that the person on the elliptical. is at least doing something. Right.
Right? They're not on the couch.
They're not on the couch and they're up and they're moving, and I respect them for that. It's just through CrossFit or through, you know, different forms of training, you can identify, wow, a coach really does help. Right. They give me direction and focus. Like, here's my biggest pet peeve. At hotels, man, I travel all over the world, and you see these people just sitting there. Like, they come into the hotel room, they'll do a little this, a little that, and they'll walk back up to the room. It's like, dude, come on, man. It's because they didn't have any they didn't have any direction.
Right.
And people are missing that direction. And so I always use the analogy, like, you know, I'm a professional trainer. That's what I've done for years. If you ask me to create a workout for you, I'll identify your what we should do, and we'll do it. And that same thing, people need to use people's support to get help when it comes to training in the gym. Mm. You know, it's like me. If I wanted to learn how to cook a great meal for my wife, I'm going to have a chef come support me, teach me how to do it, because I'm not a subject material expert on that.
Right? Yeah.
And just because you read a book does not mean that you can necessarily do it as well as a chef can who's been doing it their entire life. And I think that's what's really important about CrossFit, is that you have someone who's a professional trainer who cares and who gives you guidance and direction.
And as we said before, you put a lot of value on that in your organization, that people are prepared to train other people. They don't, you know, that's probably one of the biggest raps against CrossFit out in the wild, is that a lot of people are not well trained, and that, I mean, it's a valid criticism. But
yeah, we make the argument all the time.
You're overcoming that. Mm-hmm.
There's videos, you know, CrossFit gets the most flack online because rounded back deadlifts, you know, shitty catching cleans. But we go to powerlifting meets all the time. You see just as many rounded back deadlifts.
Or you go to any
shitty
global
squats,
gym,
yeah,
and you can see people doing
stupid
stuff.
Yeah, way dangerous.
All the time.
Way bad.
The reason why CrossFit gets a bad rap is just because, you know, it's grown really rapidly. And, you know, people say this and that. But ultimately, I would make the argument that if these coaches were that bad at what they do, then they wouldn't have a gym open to the public, because they would go out of business.
Because the market would run them out of business.
That's right. And eventually, the market will run them out of business. The cream always rises to the top. If you have a shitty restaurant down the street from you, it's probably going to go out of business, right?
Yeah.
And we can't always be in control of every single coach and every word that comes out of their mouth. But we can do at our gym, at my gym, is we can identify how to make them better and give them tools to get them there. And if every other affiliate, you know, had that same mindset, that'd be awesome. The ones that don't, they're going to probably go out of business. The ones that do, they're going to thrive.
Yeah, not everybody is going to survive.
That's right.
You mentioned
you were just talking about the year-to-year changes that you make in your facilities.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, going through the process of identifying what you feel like you
can do better. Yeah, they all changed since last time we were here.
Yeah, it was literally 11 months ago, and it looks like you have two brand-new gyms when we went to the same place.
The thing that really struck me was that you tell your members, this is, you know, we think there's a problem here, and this is how we're going to solve it. A lot of people are afraid from a PR standpoint to say, we think we have a problem here, if nobody else has come forward and said, oh, this is a problem. You know what I mean? People don't like to acknowledge problems.
Well, I mean, this is a funny analogy, but you look at Disneyland, and whether this is true or not, I like the analogy. There's the golden, is it a golden duck or something that's painted gold, okay? And every day that hey, Janet,
we need Disney.
Disney info.
It's like a golden duck or something, right? And it's painted gold.
It's coming.
We need your Disney
Janet,
knowledge.
At Disney, what's the thing that's painted gold every day?
What's the thing that's painted gold
every day? Like people touch it.
You talking about the Notre Dame helmet?
No, but like at Disney, it's like gold.
Gold, but it's painted every day?
Yeah, something's – what's gold? Like what can you touch that's gold?
At Disneyland?
Yeah.
Is it like a Mickey head or something?
Oh, my God.
She might have to Google
spot.
It.
Well, yeah, okay. She's on the spot.
I have to consult Gabe.
All right. So long story short, where I'm going with this is that there's something there that's painted gold.
Yeah.
And every day there's thousands of people that touch it. And
so they touch it up every night.
It's painted every single night.
Yeah.
So that the next day, the members, or not members, the people that come into the park have the exact same experience, right?
Okay.
They don't want to get, you know.
It's all gross,
It's messed up. Every day. Every day they should have the same experience the people had the day before. And so I bring this up because I think every year we have the obligation to tell our members where we see areas of improvement at and what we're going to do to fix it. And you'd be surprised. You know, I think a lot of people in the industry and in business in general, they don't steer into a problem. They steer around it. It just makes it worse. Instead, just go head on and be like, look, guys, we've identified.
It's like driving in the snow.
Yeah.
Steer into it.
We've identified that we need to have showers. We've identified that we need to do a better job keeping clean. That's why we're hiring. And we've identified we needed better workout tracking software. So here's what we're going to do. You could expect these changes in the next 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And then what you do is you follow up on your word, right? Always. And at the end of the year, you could now go back and say, hey, guys, we said this. Let me show you what we did. And now these members, maybe they forgot what your video said, but now they're like, wow, this guy really put his money where his mouth was and really trying to make our gym the best place possible. And that's what I'm all about, is every year we want to identify our goals and then focus on them. And 2016 goals have already been identified as, you know, grow our membership base inside so we could pay our coaches even better wages than we do today, because I want every single person in our company to make wages that they can live a comfortable lifestyle so they become professional trainers only. And they don't have to worry about working at six different studios. I mean, our people don't already, but yeah. I don't want them to ever have to even think about it.
Right.
What makes you even think about that in the beginning with? Like, you're the only – like I said, we know a bunch of box owners. We know a bunch of people that own different kinds of gyms. You're the first person ever, like, even talk this way to kind of, like trickle down or expand so – great, where most people are like, oh, yeah, I really like CrossFit. I think I'm a pretty good coach. I'll open a box, and that'll be my life.
Well, most people are trying to get away with whatever they can get away with. I mean, not that they're trying to pull anything on someone.
No, just that they're
trying to do the least that they can do to get the most back.
You know, Mark and I talk a lot about powerlifters, too, just not being creative enough, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, I think it's having a business sense, right? From a young age, I was taught to sell. From a young age, I was also taken and taught the business of fitness in general. And I would meet with this gentleman, Joe, 3 days a week on the ellipticals.
Shout out to Joe.
We'd be on the ellipticals. We'd shoot the shit about business. And he was a business owner. Yeah. And I learned early on that you got to treat people right. You know, you have to take care of people. It's no fun being at the top of the mountain if you don't have a bunch of other people up there with you kicking it, you know? And I want all, like, you guys met three people in this office or, you know, went to high school with. You know, it's like, dude, that's fun. Like, you got to have a company where people are having a good time, which is why I have a Nerf gun right here. You know, it's like, and I think it's just establishing the fact that we're going to work hard and we're also going to enjoy the experience. And,
I mean, you treat everybody like shit. You'll be surrounded by enemies rather than friends, and people won't want to see you succeed.
That's right.
And it'll just cause a lot of negativity around you. It'd be swirling around too much, and it'd be ultimately too much to overcome at some point, or just simply not fun anymore.
Well, and like people, you know, always say, like, what's your management style? It's like, well, dude, I don't really have a management style. I just come in, I work hard, and I motivate through showing. Like,
lead by example.
That's it. Like, I mean, if you're a good coach, you lead by example. You talk the talk, you walk the walk. And it goes the same thing inside business. You know, I'm not going to tell anybody to do something I'm not prepared to do either. Yesterday, I went to the gym. I saw it was a little bit dirty in the bathroom. I took some Clorox and I cleaned the floor. Did I take a picture and tell all our staff? No, I just did it because I do those kind of things because that's what I would expect our staff to do, to truly embrace the fact that they're a part of NorCal. They're connected to the culture, the community, and that they own it just like I do.
Well, you also did make the assumption that some lazy ass didn't do what they were supposed to do. You think, well, you know, maybe they were busy and they just haven't gotten back around to it yet and it needs to be done. I'm just going to take care of it.
Yeah, just get it done.
Yeah.
You know, and then identify how we can make it better in the future so it doesn't happen.
You mentioned earlier your mom joining CrossFit and losing some weight. How long has she been doing CrossFit and how much weight did she lose?
My daughter was born in 2010. And so she probably started like 2012. So it took her a while, right? Because you got to figure I've been owning a gym since 2008.
Yeah.
So it took her a while to kind of come around to it. But she wanted to be.
Any idea what the apprehension was?
It just wasn't her thing. She had never been into fitness in her entire life, ever.
That's understandable. It's intimidating.
Yeah, she never worked out before, ever. And, you know, she obviously saw what we were doing and, you know, it was a little bit intimidating at the games and whatnot. I told her, I was like, you know, everything's scalable and one day.
Yeah, it doesn't always look like this, Mom. It doesn't always look this crazy.
Yeah, you're passing out on runs. She's like, hell no.
Right. I mean, one day I was just like, Mom, you know what? I could send a coach here tomorrow to work with you guys. I'd really like to see you guys do some form of fitness. And she's like, you know what? That sounds good. So I sent a coach here to work with them one-on-one, my mom and dad. They did that for a little bit. And then, boom, they've been going into classes ever since for the last 3-4 years.
That's awesome.
And my mom, I think, has lost 50 pounds. She's gotten off all medication.
Wow.
Right? My dad had leukemia for years. Still doesn't have it. It's been gone. White blood count's good. He's gotten stronger, fitter, healthier. Both of them feel great. And what's the answer?
So it's not that it gets painted gold every day. There's a leaf on the carousel that's actual gold painted, like 23 karat gold.
Oh, that ruins your whole, whole story.
Because they could have painted it any type of gold and you can't tell the difference but it's real gold. That's
now everybody's going to go steal
it. I'm going to go look up the story. Thanks. and so back to my parents, you know, it's like, you know, they really they've really made lifestyle changes. Both of them are, you know, about 60 years old. They're in better shape at 60 than they were at 30. And to me, that's awesome because it's an anti-aging cream for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the longer they could stay doing functional movements at a high intensity, the longer they're going to be away from having me have to, you know, get them off the toilet.
Yeah. Right.
So that's huge. And so
it must, you know, be fun for them hitting up some deadlifts and some cleans and stuff like that, right?
So my deadlift, my mom deadlifted 200 and something pounds.
Like, that's awesome.
There's a video.
Runs
of
in the family.
Nice.
But, you know, and again, back to like the fact, like, what's the bigger picture of CrossFit? What's the bigger picture of why we're even sitting here? The biggest picture is we're here to help people live a better, healthier life. And, you know, If the more people we could approach, the better. The more we could expand this reach, because now, again, I'm doing what I love for a living. Our coaches are doing what they love for a living. And all of these people are just rising up, more happy, getting more fit, living a better lifestyle. And that's what CrossFit's all about at the heart of it. It's not about the games. It's not about the PRs. It's about the people who walk in and get off blood thinners, get off, you know, cholesterol medicine, et cetera. Right.
What did your parents do for a living when you were a kid?
My dad's an engineer for the city of San Jose, and my mom works at Santa Clara University. So growing up, my mom was a bookkeeper, like an accountant, and my dad, he started his own company. It ended up not going that well. I learned a lot from that experience from him, and now he's just, you know, he works.
You learned a lot from that experience just by seeing or by communicating, by talking to him about it more?
I mean, you look back on it, my dad and my father-in-law both started companies. So here's an interesting thing, you know, like you look at some of these people who feel entitled these days and whatnot. My dad came here from Iran, had nothing. You know, my father-in-law came here from Iran, had nothing. And both of them went to school, got educations, and both of them started companies. My father-in-law, very gifted marketer, very gifted salesman, identified his strengths and weaknesses, found people who are better than him at other things, and grew a pretty successful company now. My dad kind of tried to do everything on his own type of deal, and it ended up not working out quite as well, and he had to go back to work. So I learned, you know, to delegate things out. That was a big thing that I learned from just that whole experience. But what I also learned was just, you know, the whole American dream, just working hard. Like, the fact of the matter is, people who think they're going to work for an hour a day and be successful and accomplish their financial goals are out of their mind. You got to grind. You got to put in the work every single day. Just like in CrossFit or powerlifting, you're sure as hell not going to hit a PR if you only lift once every 6 months.
Yeah, I hate that whole phrase about, like, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. No, it's still fucking work.
Yeah,
it's work. It's just whether or not you enjoy it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's and how fulfilled you feel from it. It's not that it's not work.
Yeah, I mean, see, like, you look at my grandparents. You know, my grandma and my grandpa, they came here from Iran a couple years after my dad came here during the revolution in Iran. And the boat that had all their stuff on it ended up burning.
Jesus.
My grandpa came with a couple $100 in his shoe. My dad was already here at the time, so he already had a couple of dollars saved up that my grandpa had sent over. But they had nothing, zero. And in Iran, they were pretty rich. They came here with nothing at all. They started a dry cleaning business, and, you know, they did okay. And it's like, man, that's that hustle. That's that grind. Yeah. That's that thing where you're on the top of your game. Someone took it away from you, but you're still okay to get back to work and get focused. And I think that's pretty cool to learn.
What was your life like as a kid, your childhood? Did you play a lot of sports? Were your parents supportive of those sports? Like, is your family kind of, you know, they all get involved in a lot of different things together? Or
I think nowadays, like right now, we're the closest as we've been as a family. You know,
that's cool.
The grandkids really brought us together and you know, just a lot of things. You know,
yeah.
Like, they're coming with me to Mexico next week. And
oh,
we
awesome.
We have a tight-knit family. Like, my wife, she's awesome. Her family's great. They're amazing people. My family, we all get along really well. But growing up, I used to race BMX bikes. That was what I was really into. And that was a very challenging sport to be into because I had to travel all over the country.
Yeah.
I competed at, like, a national level. I did pretty well. And it was an individual sport. And so it was my parents weren't a fan of it at all because I got hurt a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's super dangerous. Yeah.
It's a very dangerous sport. I broke my collarbone, broke my face. That was the deciding factor for me. The collarbone was pretty bad, but the face was really bad when I was doing what's called a rhythm section where you jump from the one to the next. And I, long story short, I fell off and I hit my face on the upcoming Oof. Next lip, you know, the next jump.
Yeah.
And so I got knocked out and, yeah, they had to, like, do some reconstructive stuff.
Right. You're very handsome. They did great.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, that was when there was, like, kind of like the last straw. And that was right when I was about to go into high school. I got into high school. I found football, found camaraderie, found teamwork, and I loved it ever since. Yeah. And I don't know. Mainly I played, you know, mainly I did I raced BMX bikes, but I played other sports as well.
One of our early members was a BMX rider who nearly tore his arm off at the elbow an accident.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real deal, man.
I've shattered it in a bunch of spots.
Dude, I've seen some really nasty stuff. I've seen some pretty bad things just because people, a lot of times too, what happens to BMX is like when they're not like geared up, when they don't have their helmet and different stuff on, they're just kind of cruising down the street and they bunny hop over a trash can, which at the time was not a big deal to us.
Yeah.
But they clip it and they fall on and they don't wear a helmet. They're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
As a kid, did you excel in school? What was that like?
You know, elementary school, I did okay. I got in a private Catholic high school, did okay there. But I wasn't really motivated in school. I was kind of like the class, I didn't take it very seriously. I was kind of partying, right? I partied a lot, had a lot of fun. But it wasn't until I got to college. I had to go to junior college for 2 years because I didn't get into the school that I was looking for. But I eventually, after 2 years, got into the school that all my friends were at.
Right.
And it was then that I really decided to step up my game because I was I just realized, like, I got to get the hell out of here. What am I doing? School's important. I got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And so I started grinding then and working at the gym, and it was great.
So you were just kind of maybe caught up in some of the same stupid shit that kind of everybody does in their local town, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Switching gears a little bit, let's talk nutrition. I think CrossFit's kind of known for like the zone diet, which I don't even know what that is still, and like paleo. Yeah. How do you eat? I think paleo and stuff kind of go to like the general population across or what people think, but you're top level.
Yeah, I think the whole nutrition thing is an interesting topic because people sometimes get way too wrapped up in it. Zone blocking your food. It's a great concept because you get to understand what's actually going into your body.
Decent way to teach you and for you to learn about nutrition, right?
Weigh and measure your food. The paleo, nutrition, it's pretty good. Really, at the end of the day, it's just meat and vegetables, nuts and seeds. And, I think the way I eat, the easiest way I can explain it is paleo-ish, right? So generally, I eat real food, right? Generally. But, if you put a muffin in front of me at night or if I'm at my kid's birthday party, I'm going to have cake and it's perfectly okay. Yeah. And I think this thing is nutrition plays a huge role in what you look like. And if you're okay with what you look like, then you have to look at how are you performing. And if you're performing well and you look the way you want, then just keep doing what you're doing. But if you're not happy with the way you look, then you need to identify your food and start taking away some things because it's generally probably what it's going to play a factor.
Right.
And I think initially, when people get into CrossFit, you need to be really careful. Like, they just get way too wrapped up. They'll come in and be like, hey, I want to come into CrossFit 7 days a week, double days. I want to eat perfectly. All of a sudden, a month later, they're gone.
Right. Because they burn themselves out.
They burn themselves out. And so what I tell them is, and they a lot of times they just look at me like, no. I'm like, hey, dude, just come in 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
Just keep eating the exact way you're eating. And let's identify what we could do about 2-3 weeks from now. The first step, let's try and take out some soda and some excess sugar. We'll go from there. And it's like, really? It's like, yeah, dude. Fitness is a long journey, man. I'm trying to do this for the rest of my life.
You don't need to quote unquote diet.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to be fit, for next year. I'm trying to be fit until I'm 100 years old, kicking ass,
Well, people try to turn everything into religion is really what it comes down to. They're like, and if I violate this, then, I'll be punished somehow.
Yeah, bringing Tupperware to like a kid's party or something like that. It's like, it's just unnecessary,
It's inappropriate.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy because,
eating broccoli and shit.
It's just not sustainable. I mean, I've seen it time and time and time again. It's just not sustainable. You have to give yourself cheat days. You have to give yourself an opportunity just to really relax and enjoy food.
And I think that those people sometimes don't have a good sense of themselves. They don't have a good sense of their own identity. So they're trying to make their identity out of what they're doing, out of their exercise.
The other thing too, if you're trying to be competitive at, CrossFit or powerlifting, look at other people that are excelling and how much do they weigh and what do they look like?
Right.
Like if you're getting in the realm of, you weigh what, 205, something like that?
Yeah, like 210.
Yeah, 210, and you weigh close to the same amount of weight. If you're going to do CrossFit, you can probably weigh a similar amount of weight that he does,
Yeah.
It seems like every great CrossFitter is around the 200-pound mark.
Yeah, 190 to
210. If somebody weighs 160, they probably need to gain some weight to be able to lift as heavy as some of the better CrossFitters. If somebody's 250, they probably need to lose some weight.
Yeah.
And the women can kind of do the same thing. They can look at the other girls that are excelling and gain or lose weight accordingly.
That's right. And I think with CrossFit,
it's that hard to figure out.
Yeah, CrossFit has done a lot for the human body. I think that it's really, at least in my perspective, really giving
it's done a lot for
women,
my eyes.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Yeah. It's given women a really great platform to, just kind of to be, strength, beauty and strength, and it's like the whole idea of like the old school Barbie look is not necessarily sexy to everybody anymore. I mean, I'm not saying that it changed everybody's opinion, but I think a woman with strength, like, you know, my wife works out all the time. I think that having some muscle tone and the way she looks is great. I don't want her just to be a skinny twig, because I want her to be strong and independent, you know, and that carries over in her mental state, you know, and how she's feeling about herself when she hits a new PR or whatever. It's like, man, something happens in between the years where her self-confidence just goes up. And I think what Cross has done for women in that regard has been amazing.
Yeah, it's killing off the idea of the weaker sex.
Yeah,
We shouldn't be thinking about women as being weaker, because the strongest women are at least as strong as the medium strong men, and some of them are stronger than...
Yeah, some of the women are really strong.
Yeah, and it depends on what kind of strength you're talking about, too. But, I mean, if women thinking of themselves as strong individuals and not, you know, not weak and potential victims all the time is a huge change that really CrossFit has brought to.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's been a huge thing for them, I think.
And the confidence that comes with, you know, being able to wear booty shorts.
Yeah.
And whatever, you know.
And whatever else, right?
Yeah, it's like, I'm comfortable. I'll wear what I want to wear.
Yeah. I mean, the mental, what happens in between the years by doing fitness and exercise is just great. You know, I've just seen it so many times. You get a guy who loses 50 pounds. It's not necessarily what they look like that's so much different. It's the way they act, the way they stand, the way they walk around.
Yeah,
you know?
I haven't heard a ton from Greg Glassman. I haven't followed everything that he does or whatever. But it seems like recently he's on a campaign, you know, talking about CrossFit helping disease. How do you feel about some of that? Like, he's been talking a little bit more lately about CrossFit helping with diabetes and things of that nature.
I mean, really, that the whole diabetes, you know, type 2, I think the whole diabetes thing is interesting, because really it's a fight against sugar, right? So for the record, I'm drinking water, but it looks like it's in a soda. But it's like, you know, it's interesting because people don't even realize that I was in Dubai not too long ago, and I'm sitting down with some guys and they're having Coke. And it's like, okay, cool. Do your thing. Like, I don't judge. Like, whatever. You want to drink Coke? It's all good. But they're like, hey, I want to lose weight. Like, what would be the first thing you would do?
Like, get rid of that shit right there.
Right.
Don't
like,
do that.
And again, I don't judge, because if you want to drink soda, that's up to you, man. But when you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an honest answer. And I said, well, the first thing I would identify is, what excess sugar forms do I have in my diet, such as soda, you know, fruit juices, generally very
alcohol.
Yeah, very, very sugary. And the guy's like, really? Like, you wouldn't drink soda? I was like, no, dude, I wouldn't drink soda. And it just was new to them. So I think what Cross is doing, and, you know, to their defense, they're trying to bring light into the fact that, you know, these drinks have sugar, you know, and could lead to hyperinsulinemia and different types of things that can make people diabetic. And you can avoid some of this. You can avoid a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, if you're overweight, sugar's part of the answer, right? You spoke a little while ago about, like, if you like how you look, do what you're doing. If you're performing good, do what you're doing. You're probably doing okay. But if you do want to lose weight, maybe sugar's the go-to. But if you just want to perform better, like, you still need some carbs in your diet.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like, for example, I work with a chef. His name is Michael Mina. And the first thing I told him was, like, hey, man, just keep doing what you're doing. I know you're a chef. You probably eat a lot of different things. Just take out the soda, you know, and boom, you can lose 20 pounds instantly. You know,
and then
like
maybe
that.
You look into fried food and you start to look into some other things as they progress, because maybe then the gains will be few and far between.
Yeah,
at some
sure.
Part, you know?
Yeah. Sure. But, yeah, I mean, the first step that I give anybody who comes in the gym, take out soda, put in sparkling water. That's such an easy change, right?
I remember the last time that Mike and I were down here, we put you and some of your athletes through a workout, and we ended up doing some high rep stuff. I think we did like 225, maybe against some bands.
Deadlifts.
On a deadlift. And,
Yeah. In 30 seconds or
yeah,
something
I think
like
it was 30-second intervals.
And we tried to crush you, and it didn't work, but you turned like white for a minute. And then you took what seemed like to be maybe two deep breaths, put your hands on your legs, and then you just maybe walked around a couple times in a circle, and then you're like, all right, I'm ready to go again. And me and Mike were like, what the fuck just happened? Because you looked like almost sick for a second. You know how someone looks when they're exercising really hard. Yeah, you looked like you were going to die there for a second. And then you were, within 30 seconds, you were totally fine. How have you been able to train like that? Like, how have you been able to get yourself to that level of conditioning?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a recovery thing. And I think, really, EMOMs are a great training tool.
Every minute on the minute, for those that don't know.
Yeah, every minute on the minute. I think they're a great train tool because you can identify each minute what you did good, what
and you
did.
You can kind of do that with just about anything, right?
Anything you want. I mean, you could do deadlifts on the minute, squat, bench.
Yeah.
You could do, you know, intervals of
bicep curls,
whatever. And I think what you do is you start identifying, okay, I'm going to do every minute on the minute. And maybe in the beginning, it might be like one rep and then you have a lot of rest. Or maybe for certain things, if it's a heavy set, right? It's just one rep. Like let's just say it's 405 back squat, whatever, right? You do one rep a minute every minute for whatever. But then you also do things where, honestly, your amount of rest turns into almost nothing. So, like, for example, if I'm rowing 20-something calories on the rower every minute on the minute for 20 minutes, it's now like 50 seconds of work to 10 seconds of recovery. And right. So that's how I've worked my recovery so well, is by messing around with EMOMs and even like 2-minute intervals, 3-minute intervals, where you start taking it from, let's just say, 10 seconds of work and 50 seconds of rest, or let's just say 30 and 30, to now 50 and 10. And all of a sudden, your recovery must then move along with it. That's one of the training tools.
Just like adding weight, you know, you're increasing the amount of work and decreasing the amount of rest.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, an easy way to look at it, like an EMOM with heavy lifts is like, let's just say you start at a 400-pound back squat, you do, a 20-minute EMOM, so you end up gaining 20 reps. Well, now the next time you go 410, then 415, then 420, and by the time you're done with that EMOM, I guarantee you your actual recovery time has shortened because now it takes you longer to complete that rep. It takes you longer when you get the bar off the rack to actually start the rep type of thing, right?
Yeah. It just seems like it'd make you so sore.
Yeah, it's hard. Bart had me do that down in LA. We do EMOMs with maybe deadlifts.
Yeah, we do a little bit.
But not back
tiny
squats.
Bit.
Yeah,
and I did on back squats. It's so hard. My back was all torn up. Everything was so tight.
Even your traps and a bunch of muscles and stuff that you don't always feel. Like when you squat, you kind of don't feel
anything. These traps, buddy, I feel these all the time.
I mean, do like the 20 rep back squat program had me like that for a while. I mean, I did that for a while. You know, you had 5 pounds twice a week or whatever it was, and I was just on it. And did you get to the point where you have like, 300 and whatever pounds in your back going for 20, and it takes you like 5 minutes to do the rep, the set? You're just like, fuck.
Not a lot of people know this, but Mr. Kalipa here has competed in a powerlifting meet.
Oh, that's right.
What are some of your you competed actually at a contest that Jim and I believe we were at.
I'm pretty sure we were there.
In 2010 at Diablo Barbell. But you're obviously very strong. I think last time we were here, I think maybe you deadlifted 550 or somewhere in that range sumo, and you never done a sumo deadlift before.
Benched what are some of your 300s?
Yeah, what are some of your best lifts, best numbers?
The best I've done was in I competed in New Zealand about a year ago, and I did a 475 high bar, like just regular back squat.
Right.
I did a 550 deadlift, and I did a 370 bench.
Nice.
The thing about it is like you're only as good as you're not going to be good at something else. Like you get it's a very fine line, right?
Right.
Because if my deadlift was 700 pounds and my bench press was 600, my mile time probably wouldn't be 540. So my goal is to, one of my goals whenever I'm prepared to kind of set my sights on it is to, I'd like to be able to run a 530 mile and hit maybe like a 350 clean in less than 6 minutes. That'd be kind of cool.
Nice.
Or some form of that, right? Yeah. Like in less than 6 minutes, perform this and a 500-pound deadlift, right? So that tells you have to be able to run the mile and recover enough to hit the 500.
Is it Alex Viata, the name?
Yeah, I think so.
Squat 700, run sub 530 mile.
Yeah, so like that's
unheard of.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
Right? Yeah. So now and then the question becomes: if you took that person out to a 5K, where would that drop off? And maybe it doesn't. I mean, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, isn't that the original question posed by CrossFit? You know, show me somebody that squats 600 pounds, and I'll show you somebody that performs poorly in a mile run, and vice versa. Yeah.
And what CrossFit's really starting to do is a lot of these things are starting to – I mean, you got a lot of guys in CrossFit now snatching 300 pounds.
Look at Ben Smith. That guy's a freak.
Dude,
Squatting over 500 pounds, I think even for multiple reps, I think.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like Ben squats over 500, snatches over 300.
I don't know where it comes from. He doesn't look that big.
No, he doesn't. He's just great.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see people in CrossFit really start to almost set records in certain areas where people are specialists because maybe because of the dynamicness of the training. I don't know what it is, but I think that
could be the conditioning could be the big part of it. I mean, doing something every minute on the minute is tapping into stuff that no one's ever. A lot of times the best athletes do stuff unconventional, like it sometimes goes completely against the recommendations of others. And maybe CrossFit is kind of doing doing that with some of their crazy workouts.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, maybe that's what it is. I mean, I'd be intrigued to see, you know, what oil lifters, power lifters, and other types of communities, they started implementing more and more CrossFit, seeing how that changes their training, right? And
yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they saw a large benefit from that, because you start hitting different energy pathways and different types of stuff that may, you know, help.
I think if someone's a better athlete and if they're in better condition, I think we would all agree that it would make them better at anything. So
right.
I don't know why it would, you know, hurt you.
Yeah, Louis.
Other than maybe just the act of doing some CrossFit might make you super sore, and it might take a while to adjust to it. But other than that, I don't see why it would hurt.
Yeah, I think it's a ratio of everything. You know, Louis Simmons, a very famous powerlifting coach, always talks about GPP, general physical preparedness. So even a powerlifter, all we do is 9 reps in our competition, right? 9 sets of 1. But we still need to be able to recover from that with our lungs, with our hamstrings, with our whatever.
Cause
general, you need to be mobile enough and conditioned enough to handle what you're going to do. CrossFit, you just have to be mobile enough and conditioned enough to do who knows what the hell that you're going to do.
Right.
Yeah, who knows what's getting thrown your way.
Yeah, I mean, there are only 3 events of powerlifting, but it's still a long day. It's not CrossFit.
You got to be fit enough. And maybe GPP for your mom is to lift the garbage can that weighs 100 pounds or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's right.
It's all functional for what your goal is or what you're doing.
That's it.
All right, man. I think we're going to bring this one in for a landing. Just one more thing to kind of note. I was excited to come up here today. Really cool. Appreciate you showing us around, taking us into your home, showing us the brick oven pizza. Yeah. That was the highlight.
We were
by
a little
far.
Sad there was no pizza in it.
Oh,
but
man.
You showed us a lot of cool stuff, but the brick oven pizza just
next time you guys are down, I think we're going to have to make some pizza in there.
But, awesome. You know, you see a lot of stuff on Instagram and social media from people, and you don't know what's real and what's fake. People portray these great lives and portray these great positive things all the time, and you're actually doing it. So I commend you for it. Congratulations. It's really cool to see all your success and all the things that are – I can't wait to kind of see what's to come for you. So congratulations on all that. It's awesome having you here on the PowerCast. And multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, and may all your shits be tapered.
Where can people find you, Jason?
Sign-off.
Boom.
The sign-off got them. Where can people find you? Websites, gyms, Instagrams,
yeah,
whatever.
You can go to ncfitness.com. You can go to, you know, I've got Instagram, just Jason Klepa, Twitter. I don't really use Facebook much. The messages kind of get me overwhelmed.
There you go. Yeah, that's an issue.
You can find me at SilentMike2Ks, Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Jimmy D, STTV on Twitter and Instagram. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Mills Powercast, Facebook.com/SuperTrainingGym, Twitter and Periscope at STGymSack, and we are out.
Mark Bell's PowerCast is a production of